Interview with Rachel Best, August 12, 1986, by Misty Turbeville.
Thought we might just start off with a little family history. Do you remember your grandparents?
Just vaguely. My grandfather was killed with a car wreck when he walked out in front of the car on 54 when I was 3 years old. So he moved down from Burlington, and Daddy was 7 years old, and that would have been probably about 75 years ago now, because my father's mother's been dead.
And you moved down to this area?
Yeah.
I mean, your farm?
The farm where we are now.
That's
the same farm. Mm-hmm. It was my grandfather's, and then my father inherited it. And then I inherited a third. And of course, I'm buying my sister's third, and then my brother has a third of the farm.
Okay. What did your grandfather do before he bought the farm?
I think they ran a boarding house in Burlington, and then they moved down here. I don't know what he did. He probably worked in some kind of factory. There's so many factories in Burlington, but I know that they did run a boarding house.
Uh-huh. Well, tell me about the farm, and how big is it, and what did your grandfather and father farm?
Okay, Daddy started a farm. He had the farm, basically. He used to thrash wheat a long time ago when I was little. And he would go all around over the community thrashing everybody's wheat in the summertime. Then he had a sawmill. So I guess on a small scale you would call him a diversified farmer. And then he had some grain and he had sheep. And I remember when I was really small, you know, every once in a while he would kill a sheep, and then there wasn't any regulations on, you know, selling the meat, so they would dress the animal and then go around and sell each different people.
Uh-huh.
Some of the, they called it mutton then. So, then when I was about, I'm 52, and I guess when I was about 8 or 9 years old, he started selling barnyard milk, which you milk the cows just in a driveway in the barn in a bucket, and you strained it up, you know, of course, and put it in milk cans and set the cans out. You had a big cooler with water in it. Oh, it wasn't very big. It probably held 100 or 200 gallons of water, and the cans were sitting down in, and then the next morning you'd sit them out in the mailbox, and this truck would come along and pick them up. So then we built this stanchion barn, milking barn, and I guess we must have milked 35 cows or something like that. Then after Charles and I married, we came back after Daddy decided he wanted to retire. And I think we tried to milk around 70 to 90, but I think we did get up to a few over 100 a time or two.
So it turned into a dairy?
Yes, yeah.
When you were home?
It turned into a grade A dairy when, we probably milked a couple of years in that driveway before we built a parlor.
Mm-hmm.
Probably when I was about 12 years old, we did that. So that'd be 40 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And then after we came back, we built a milking parlor. And then we built some more silos and a mixed mill, which is one building that grinds all the feed, and it has pipes that run over to the silo where you feed mixed grain on top of the silage, and then you feed in the milking parlor too. Like there was a bin for corn, a bin for oats, and a bin for supplement, and it all ran into this mixed mill and ground it up. And then it ran to these different little tubes where you wanted it to go.
So all this is done by hand? The
yes, we did it by hand. And of course all of it now is all by automation.
Mm-hmm. Did your father have any help?
I think he had one or two people to help him. And when we were farming, we probably had about two full-time and two or three part-times.
Well, what about with your fathers? Were those full-time? Did they live?
Yeah, they lived on the farm.
Oh.
Yeah.
And just helped you with?
Mm-hmm. Did the milking, mainly.
Okay.
And then when we had crops, now Daddy and Charles, too, when they were mainly running the farm, this equipment is so expensive. You know, you don't have many hired hands that you allow to run those big tractors and big silage cutters and things like that. And the risk of accidents, you know, there's so many things on a farm that a person can get hurt with. So, and think of all the money that you got in those pieces of equipment. They just aren't careful enough to take care of them. So we usually did the cutting, maybe let them haul silage into the barn, that type of thing, into the silage.
Could you describe your family to me growing up, your mother and father and your brothers and sisters?
Well, I've got one brother. He is a Methodist preacher. And I've got one sister. She lives up in Graham. But they were never really interested in the farm. Now, my mother, she was a really hard-working, just a wonderful lady that did for everyone. And she baked cakes and went to the curb market. And mainly, that was our spending money, you know, what Mama made. Because Daddy didn't give out that much of his money. Although he gave me more than he did the other two. So I was a baby, I guess, in the pit. So anyway, I never helped my mother. I always helped my daddy farm, you know. When I was, I would come home from school, say, when I was 12, and I'd go over to the sawmill where he was working, drive the tractor back home. So I learned to drive a tractor when I was about 12 years old. And I always helped him on the farm. I never helped my mother. So when I got married, I didn't know how to cook.
What'd you do on the farm?
What did I do? I milked and I hauled hay.
Mm-hmm.
And, later on after we had it, you know, I hauled silage and baled hay. I used to run the hay baler. Whatever needed to be done, you know. And I always felt like if I, you know, you never know when help's going to walk out. So if you, as I was saying, I think it's important for a person to be able to handle your farm yourself if you hired help, you know, gets unhappy and walks off. So that's always where we tried to stay at a level that we could handle it ourselves and our family, you know, regardless of the help situation, because you never know what you can count on with them.
Well, did your brother and sister help out the way that you did?
Yeah. As long as they were there until they went off to college. Probably not as much as I did, because I liked it more than they did.
Did anyone help your mom?
My sister helped my mother. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mother was quite an active person. She was active in the church. She was active in the district and the state in mission work. You know, I know one time she went to a trip to the United Nations in New York. And then she was also active in the Home Demonstration Club work. And then in her later years, she enjoyed being a pink lady at the hospital. So she did she loved chickens, which I've never cared for chickens. She had her little chicken house and her little eggs, and Mother was an extremely good cook. Like, she had to have a cake or a pie every day and, you know, all this good food. So she really was a good cook and a really hard worker, because when I was small, she she made butter, you know, and sold that at the curb market. So our lifestyle has changed quite a bit.
Where is or was this curb market?
She went to Burlington. See, we usually go to town in this area at Burlington.
Was this on weekends?
On a Saturday morning. Mm-hmm.
And she would sell butter?
And she would sell butter and eggs and cakes. And I guess that was the biggest thing she sold, because she made a lot of cakes. And it's really strange, you know, now we have this hunting preserve. And some of the people that my mother used to sell some cakes to occasionally come down. I mean, they're really elderly people.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I know Lawyer Vernon, she used to sell cakes to. Now he comes down to the shooting preserve occasionally.
Uh-huh. So she was known for her cakes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she was known for her cakes.
Okay, so she did that on Saturdays, and then these activities that you're talking about, the volunteer activities.
Oh, yeah. She didn't do anything for pay. Other than I think one time she did take census.
Uh-huh.
And then I know one time I took census too.
Well, what about her role on the farm and in the home? Did she ever help with the farm work?
Yeah, like the milking and all. But as far as getting pay, you know, I don't ever remember my mother getting pay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. She helped milk, and she, of course, tended her chickens, but, yeah, that was pretty basically it.
Did she have a garden?
Yeah. She did a lot of canning and freezing and that type of thing.
Did she do all of the cooking for
your family?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did she have any help? No, she didn't have any help. Occasionally, you know, maybe she would hire somebody to come in, but not on a regular basis. She didn't have help.
And did she pretty much run the house?
Yeah. My mother and daddy, you know, were real congenial to each other. They worked together.
Uh-huh.
But they were a good mother and daddy.
How about coming to decisions? Like when there were decisions about the farm, about
Daddy did that.
He did.
Yeah, he did. Made the main big basic decisions.
Did your mother mind at all, or was that?
I don't really remember. You know,
yeah.
Daddy just, you know, ran the business.
Right.
So I don't ever remember her. I guess she didn't object, because I don't ever remember saying anything about it.
Yeah. Well, were there any decisions that
on the farm?
Or in the home?
Anything? Oh, she made the decisions in the home. But, you know, I mean, as far as the decision on the farm, he did a lot of that. He did most of that.
So each sort of had their own
family.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Your hired hands that you spoke of earlier,
mm-hmm.
who were they? Were they single men or?
Well, over the years, you know, we've had a lot of different ones. I think a long time ago we had a colored family that worked. You know, the colored man worked for my father.
Uh-huh.
And then later on, after we came back, I think the same ones worked for us. And then we kept them a while. You can usually say their span or last from... 5 or 6 years. That's
uh-huh.
usually as long as they last. And then they kind of get unhappy and move on. Or sometimes maybe 3 years.
Uh-huh.
And then we hired someone else. The last people we had was some single white boys.
Uh-huh.
We worked a few Mexicans, but they really didn't. I just worked them on a day labor basis.
Uh-huh.
They really... These were not very good working Mexicans, so I didn't keep them very long. And then when our children grew up, you know, the boys helped on the farm.
Mm-hmm.
How about turning off?
Yeah. Okay, so again, who do you think you're most like in that area?
Okay, well, say from my daddy's standpoint, the devilish side I think I get from my daddy's standpoint, and he liked to kind of pick on people, and he never met a stranger. So I think I maybe get a little bit of my mouthy side from him. And then, and my mother, she was always so nice and good to everybody and did people all the time. I like to do things for people, too. Maybe I don't do as much as my mother did, but I do like to do things for people. In my community, when someone marries, I usually always offer the lodge, and lots of times I fix the flower arrangements for the mm-hmm. for all the bridal showers and that mm-hmm. kind of thing. Mm-hmm.
Were you the baby of the family?
Yeah.
Yes. And you were talking about you could get money from your mother, but not
from my daddy. In high school, you know, that's when the high school was downtown in Chapel Hill. And we all went downtown and ate lunch. And so back then, he used to give me $1 a day to go eat lunch, which was, you know, I was driving a school bus, and I got $20 a month. So $1 a day was a lot of money, you know, back then. But he didn't give the other two that, you know.
He didn't?
No.
Why do you think?
Oh, I don't know. I used to, I'd get whatever I wanted to get out of him, and I'd argue with him, and he'd give me whatever I wanted. And they never fooled with arguing with him. So I did. I didn't care.
Do you think it made any difference because you helped him more on the farm?
Well, probably. Probably, and yet being the baby, too.
Yeah.
And then after we came back to the farm and Daddy retired, he came over and helped us. He used to come about every day. So we still, Daddy and I were always really close.
Uh-huh.
I was really closer to my father than I was my mother all our lives. We were always big buddies, and that we never ceased to be big buddies.
You went to school in Chapel Hill Hospital?
Mm-hmm. Yep, I met him in junior year. Well, I knew him, you know, but I started dating him in junior year.
Did he grow up out here?
He grew up in Chapel Hill, out on Pittsburgh Highway. His father worked in the post office mm-hmm. in Chapel Hill.
Mm-hmm.
So, then I went to High Point College and took business, and he went to state and took agriculture. And the next year we married, and then he went back to state. Took another year. Then we worked a while on the farm, and Daddy didn't want to increase the farm, so we went to Oxford, and he first worked with the American Breeders Service breeding cows artificially, and he worked for Pine State Dairy, and he worked, he did a milk testing, and I helped him with the books at home at night. Let me see. We married in 53 and Mike was born in 55, and then I had about 2 years and 9 months later in Oxford I had a little girl, Betsy. So then we came back to the farm. No, we didn't. We moved to, he got a better job breeding cattle in Shelby, so we moved up there. We didn't stay quite a year because we really didn't care for it that much. It seemed like it was a different kind of people, you know. We was really close to the dairy farmers in Oxford. And most of them was more educated type people than I found in Shelby.
Mm-hmm.
So in Shelby, you know, I knew the people through the church, but as a whole, the farming population was a fairly ignorant type people. I just didn't care for it too much. So we moved back to Cary, and he had Wake County that he bred cows on officially. And then after Daddy retired, we came back and took over the farm.
You worked on the farm for a little while after y'all first got there?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I guess for about a couple of years.
Did you live out there?
Yeah. And Mother and Daddy built, let's see. No, they didn't build a new house until we came back the last time. First time we lived with my mother and Daddy.
Uh-huh.
And I worked, I did the billing and mebbing in office for Peaches and Cream. And Charles worked on the farm.
And you, so you lived with your parents?
Part of the time. And then part of the time we rented a little house in the neighborhood.
Yeah. Would you have liked to have stayed on the farm from the very beginning?
No. I think it was good to move off, meet other people, see how the farmers run their farms, and which was a good training for Charles, because he saw how he wanted to run a farm when he got total charge of it.
Uh-huh.
So I think it was a good experience to move away. Well, it was okay, but he did make us work a while before he would turn it over to see if we were doing it like he thought it should be run,
uh-huh.
Which he did. Of course, we expanded right much and a lot more than he was, and he saw that Charles was doing a good job with the dairy. You know, he improved the production of the cattle, uh-huh. Milk cows, the milk. So he was pleased with that. But we all, as long as he lived, we always discussed things with him and included things. Clued him in when we was really making some major decisions.
Uh-huh. You spoke earlier about problems of increasing. It's one reason why, even if you'd wanted to, you and your husband couldn't have stayed on the farm right away.
Well, you can't. You've got to borrow money, you know, to increase. And you can't borrow money unless you have some property in your names. So until Daddy was just willing to sell, you know, part of his farm, we didn't have enough money to be able to. And, of course, you're not going to build on somebody else's land anyway. So that was one reason that was with waiting until he decided to retire. And you know, he let me have my third of the farm,
uh-huh.
So we could borrow money on my third of the farm. And then we rented his other part of his land too. We paid him rent each month for that, and then we also paid him for the cows and equipment, market price.
Share of the farm. Were they ever interested in it? And then
no. My brother's a Methodist preacher. Now he has inherited his third of the farm, which he's renting to someone else. But it's pretty much woodland. And then my sister, she wasn't interested, so she's selling me her
uh-huh.
her share of the farm now.
Were there ever any problems over the land, how it was to be divided?
No, Daddy pretty much had three places, three different farms.
Uh-huh.
So I got the home place,
uh-huh.
And my sister got my grandfather's place and Roger's place. Then my brother got the part over on 54 Highway.
And they didn't mind that you got the home place?
No. Well, Daddy gave me this, 15 years, you know, before he died or anything was done with the other property. So anyone of the three could have come back had they wanted to,
mm-hmm.
but the other two were not interested in coming back.
Mm-hmm.
So it was pretty basically understood, you know, the one who wanted to come back could.
Right.
But he didn't have any question about it.
And it worked out well.
Yeah.
That only one of you wanted to come back, probably. Would it have been harder if the other two had wanted to? They've been different growing up, and if all three of you had wanted
to farm? Yeah, because it wouldn't have been that much property. You know, it was about between 300 and 400 acres, which wasn't that much land. Not for two or three people to farm.
Yeah. when you got married, and you told me earlier? 53.
53. Mm-hmm.
And he was working at, this is before you came back to the farm, he was working at the different breeders and
different places. Well, now we actually came back to the farm, you know, when we first married.
Right.
For about a couple of years.
Right.
And then he was doing artificial breeding of cattle. We moved to Oxford. And he was doing DHIA testing, which is testing, weighing the amount of milk once a month the cow gives and get the butterfat to see if a cow's paying for herself. And I did the bookwork for that. And then he worked at Pine State Dairy, too. Because, see, Oxford was a Granville County was a small county, and they didn't have enough cattle to breed to make a living off of just one job, so that's the reason he worked three jobs.
Were you paid for the bookwork?
No, I was just helping him.
Helping him. So what were you doing?
Because I was staying home, I had one little boy, and then I had an old girl while I was there. And I stayed home and kept the children, you know, raised the children.
Do you think that's
important? Yes. Yes, I do. Especially until they start school. I hate to see a little bitty kid have to get out of bed 6 or 7 o'clock in the morning. I think it's good that they can sleep until they get ready to get up. And then I think it's a necessity for a lot of people, but other people aren't going to take the time that you're going to take with your own child, you know, in reading. I think it's really important to sit down and hold them in your lap and read to them. And they get to the place that they love books, you know, and this creates an interest for reading and books and things for them.
Mm-hmm. Did you do any sort of work before you came back to the farm? Or is this all during the period while your children were growing up?
Let me see. When my mother kept Mike a little while when he was little, and I did the billing right before we moved to Oxford for Peaches and Cream, and when he was in college in Raleigh, I worked at the State Library Commission. I ordered books and processed mm-hmm. books and that type of thing. And then I didn't work until the children, you know, were all in school
mm-hmm.
after that. In fact, I didn't work anymore as far as public work.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I used to do a lot of volunteer work, like I was a 4-H leader, you know, for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And then I did work through the Home Demonstration Club, and I used to teach sewing classes like matching stripes and plaids and that type of thing until I started taking art. And then when I started taking art, I quit these other things because this has been so much more fun. It's something I enjoy and turned into a business.
You told me earlier that you had been interested in home ec
mm-hmm.
in college, that if you...
If I had gone 4 years, I would have taken it. And I said I was interested in crafts. You know, I love to make crafts, and usually a person that's interested in crafts on sewing as a whole, usually a good artist.
Mm-hmm.
People that work with their hands.
Were you interested in home ec for things that you could do in the home, or would you have gone out and taught it? Of course, now you're teaching art.
I could have. I don't know. I just like that kind of thing. I like to do flower arranging. And then, you know, I like to sew. I did a lot of sewing. Of course, I could sew, you know, when the kids were sitting at home.
Right.
So,
did you sew their clothes?
Yeah. I used to make sport coats and suits and coats, and I was really advanced in the sewing.
And you learned to cook?
Yeah, I learned to cook after I got married.
Was that by trial and error, or?
Well, pretty much time on there. I found that you can do whatever you want to if you make up your mind to do it.
While you were taking care of the children,
did
you took care of the house as well?
Oh, yeah. Well, I usually had help a day a week. I've always had help a day a week.
Ever since y'all got married?
Pretty much. Time. The idea of the cooking. And then part of the time, I know when I was about the time my fourth child was born, I was cooking for my family, plus some hired help. You know, we had two men working for us then for a while, and I was cooking for them. But during this time, you know, there's been a few times that the help, we didn't have any help, so mm-hmm. I had to go help milk.
You know. Okay, so when y'all came back to the farm, that was after you'd been off the farm for about 12 years?